Now, how many non-Muslims came to that open day?
Actually, we didn't count the number, but people come and go. Although we were scheduled to open at 6 o'clock, but I heard some people came 5 o'clock and then keep coming. At the end, when we had a Eid reunion dinner with the non-Muslims, my estimate would be like 40 to 50 people participated in the dinner, but few other may have missed the dinner. They just come and go.
And from your point of view, from your words, what was the point of doing this open day?
There are some misunderstanding, maybe due to the ignorance and due to not having first-hand experience with the Muslims in the community, that sometimes it is reflected in various places, including media. So we thought it would be good for informing the community that we live in, that, you know, what is a mosque about and what does Muslim do in the mosque and, you know, how it operates. So that's why we invited the wider community, and the Toowoomba Chronicle published a story on Friday, just before the day before the opening day of the mosque, which is part of the national mosque opening day as well.
Yes, it was right across the country that mosques opened.
Yes, it was, and many mosques actually took part. And we thought it was an opportunity, and that also coincided with another effort of Work Together, which is Welcome Australia initiative.
And you participated in that as well. There was a parade through the Toowoomba streets.
Yeah, the Muslim community had a significant presence in the Work Together, and the mayor of the city spoke on that occasion. Also, the imam of the Garden City Mosque, which is the name of the mosque in Toowoomba, spoke on the occasion as well.
Have you had any aggression towards the Muslim community reported in Toowoomba in recent times?
We didn't have anything of serious nature, but obviously what's happening around in this country, and more so in the overseas, that affects the community. And we feel that the things going on in other parts of the world for which we are no way responsible, but at times we have to respond to this. But that's also an opportunity to open ourselves to the wider community, which we have been doing for many years, actually. Before the mosque was set up, USQ Islamic Center was the primary center of Muslims meeting for offshipping. And we are observing Islamic Center Open Day for many, many years. And many members in the wider community, including in institutions like school and colleges and church groups, they participated in organizing the event as well as in the event themselves.
How many Muslims live here in Toowoomba?
It's a very difficult question to answer because we don't have any hard figure, and people come and go, but mainly it's increasing. When I come to Toowoomba, in early 90s, we had half a dozen Muslims praying in the USQ Islamic Center. But now, in the Eid prayer, it passes 1,000 very easily. So the numbers is now in 1,000 rather than in hundreds.
Thousands. Really? And are you, and people would think, oh, that doesn't, because you don't actually see, not every Muslim in Toowoomba chooses to wear the full dress.
Yeah, that's applies to the women in particular. You know, many women do now wear Islamic headscarf, but, you know, I'm a bit shocked sometimes. You know, I look into the Virgin Mary's, you know, dress, whether you go to a church, look into the statue or the drawings on the church, it's always covered, isn't it? She was seen never uncovered. But when the Muslim women covered, then some people find it offensive, which is sort of, you know, inconsistent with the common day logic. So I felt honest. But, you know, not every Muslim woman wear the hijab. That's another fact of the life. But those who choose to, that's their choice. And more Middle Eastern people are coming to USQ and the Toowoomba in general, because Toowoomba probably, you know, that is one of the regional cities which is the refugee friendly. So the hijab, women with hijab, is more visible now than any time before in Toowoomba.
I wanted to ask you, as a community leader, and this question really has to be asked of all religious leaders, there's no doubt about that, but how do you therefore stop some young men in particular, but how do you stop some people becoming radicalized in a religion? What do you think we should be doing?
It's an excellent question, actually, Linda. This question should be answered by not only the religious leader, but also the politicians and the policymakers. Because, you know, last week, one lady actually contacted me, offering her service to accompany Muslim women wearing head covering to the shopping center and public places. just to be friendly and just to be guarding in case there is an event and she is going to help this Muslim women. There are many like that in the community, I think. Look, the question you have asked is very, very legitimate, and we should be working hard on that. Because when something goes wrong nationally within Australia, we are more affected than something else happens overseas. Of course, overseas events also affect us, but not as much as the domestic events. My question is how much resources and effort we are putting to make sure that the domestic people, the young people that you mentioned, are not going in the wrong direction and getting a victim of the things that we don't want to our children to get into. And how much resources are being devoted for the overseas activities, you know, be it military or other things. So this is a common question. My understanding is that we should be engaging with our communities, regardless of the religion or any other things. If we can provide them education and avenues of having good life, we are going to make them more Australian and more conducive to the development and productivity of the community than anything else. So that is why we need to work together, that the young people don't get the wrong message. They should be given the hope and opportunities that exist in Australia, not leaving them alone, and then they can be victim of the people who are praying for them through internet and other means.
Is it a conversation that happens within the Muslim community in Toowoomba talking about, or how do you
very
stop
much,
this?
Very much, very much. Our imam and our community is very much engaged, giving them the feeling that we belong to Australia, and anything good happening in Australia, we're part of it. Everything bad happens, we're going to suffer for that as well. So we are as much Australian as anybody else. On the other hand, you know, being Muslims, we are having sort of double demerit. Everything bad happens, you know, we are victim of that as well as our religion become a victim of that. And, you know, this is something makes us more proactive to protect the community in terms of, you know, saving them from the evil.
So what did you show people at the open day at the mosque? What were you showing them?
Interesting question. We took them inside the mosque and we prayed the after sunset prayer together, and they were invited either to participate in the prayer or to sit and relax. So they saw how the call for prayer is made, as opposed to, you know, ringing the bell, and they saw how the Muslim pray in congregation. They participated in the dinner after that. So I think for many of them, this was the first time that they came to the mosque and have a first-hand experience with talking to the Muslims inside the mosque.
And what sort of comment did people give you as they were leaving? Were they surprised? Did they make presumptions that weren't necessarily true?
Well, we didn't have any surprising comment this time. But the fact that they started coming early and they spent time and participated in the dinner, I think in general they were very pleased. And you know, some ladies and other gents actually made comments on, you know, how friendly the environment was and how the delicious was the food and how they felt welcome into the mosque. So this was an experience for some of them, which is very positive. And I think they will probably come in any other events that happens in the mosque.
I think probably the thing that comes up for me as a community member and what people talk about and what I see on social media is that there is this belief that women are treated badly as part of the core of the Muslim faith. How do you respond to that women are somehow treated lesser? That's the presumption.
I think nothing can be further from the truth. If you look I can give you some information. The sister-in-law of the ex-British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, she became a Muslim. A famous journalist, he probably heard of her, Yvonne Redley, who was captive to the Taliban just before the Americans invaded Afghanistan. She became Muslim. And a large number of young and professional middle-class women are converting to Islam. If